and welcome now to the Midday for Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. The Madison Symphony has concerts this weekend, three of them as usual, Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 8 o'clock, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Overture Center in Madison. The program will include Billy the Kid by Aaron Copland and also The Three-Cornered Hat by Manuel de Falla, and then you might say centerpiece twice over, the work of Chris Brubeck and also of Joaquin Rodrigo, featuring guitarist Sharon Eastman, who is with me in the studio. Welcome to the Midday.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Happy to have you here. And, you know, I notice in your bio you have played with 170 orchestras. Now, I realize that's over the course of, what, 25, 30 years? But that's still a lot to keep up with. Is the pace still that wild for you?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is when I have composers write for me, that becomes part of my repertoire. So if at this point it's over a dozen pieces written for me, plus another dozen of standard, so at any given season I might be asked to play up to 9 concerti and solo programs, chamber music programs. I'm doing concerts with the Pacifica Quartet, Isabel Leonard and I, who performed here a couple of years ago in Madison. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a challenge just to organize how to practice all of that at once.
Well, at the same time, you have founded and direct the guitar department at Juilliard, and there's another one, too, that I'm leaving out.
In the summer, I had the program at the Aspen Music Festival,
right.
So I get to hike in the mountains and visit with the bears and do some master classes at the same time.
So that adds yet another dimension. Do you actually have time somewhere in there to do some teaching?
Well, in Aspen, it's a specific 4-week period, and it's all master classes, and people come from all over the world. So I take 9 students, and it's, for me, a lot of fun because I get to work with people I don't see during the year, and some of my students from Juilliard come there as well. Juilliard, I keep the enrollment really small. I take 3 or 4 students total, and I've been really thrilled to have kids from more than 20 different countries. In fact, one fellow, Tengwei Zhang, just won first prize in the Guitar Foundation of America International Competition in June, which is it's the most important for classical guitar in the world, and he just won last week in Moscow first prize.
Well, so congratulations to both of you.
Exactly. I found him in Beijing when I was doing a master class there, and he played for me, and I said, I must bring you to Juilliard. So we made it happen. He's been working with me almost 6 years.
Let's see. So you've been playing the guitar since you were 9, but if there had not been guitars around, you were in Italy when you started playing, but if there had not been guitars around, would you have played piano or drums or something else? I mean, is that musicality of yours so inherent that it would have taken some other form?
Well, my mother was wonderful about giving us all the opportunity to study music. So we all started on the piano, my 2 older brothers and I, and I was resigned to having to continue that when we went to Italy for a year. I was 9 years old. I had already given up the piano at the ripe old age of 8. And my oldest brother said he wanted guitar lessons. So my parents discovered there was a wonderful teacher who had studied with Segovia, was coming every week from Milan, and was touring all over Italy. So they brought my brother for the interview, and Ira said, oh, classical? No way, I want to be Elvis Presley. So he bowed out, never took a lesson, and I volunteered to take his place. Otherwise, I would have been stuck with more piano lessons. So I thought this was a win-win situation.
Do you still have those feelings about the piano?
I love the piano. It's my favorite instrument. I spent 10 years studying with the great Bach pianist and scholar Rosalind Turek.
Sure.
And we were wonderful friends for a good 30 years. Together we edited the Bach Lute Suites for guitar, and I recorded them all. That's still available from the Warner Classics label. And I published with her for G. Schirmer some of the suites. So it was a very fruitful and remarkable collaboration, and I'm very grateful to her to have been a mentor.
Well, the repertory for the guitar has blossomed in the last 50, 60 years. I mean, we think of it primarily, or at least originally, as being for Spanish music, but now it can be almost anything. However, let's start with something Spanish from your repertory, and this goes back 12, 14 years, something like that. This recording of the Tárrega, Recuerdos de la Alhambra, one of the great standards for the guitar, and here is Sharon Isbin. Famous of all guitar pieces. What would it be, Recollections of the Alhambra? Would that be how you translate that by Tárrega, Recuerdos?
Memories of the Alhambra, which is a beautiful 13th century Moorish cathedral and palace and gardens in Granada, Spain, the land of the gypsies.
And of course, a lot of the Spanish music, guitar music in particular, is evocative of specific places in Spain. And we'll get into Aranjuez a little later, which of course is what you're playing with the Madison Symphony this weekend. And we'll have more with Sharon Isbin and her music right after this here on WPR. And back now with Sharon Isbin, who is going to be performing two works with the Madison Symphony this weekend. One you commissioned from Chris Brubeck, right?
Absolutely, yes. He's the son of Dave Brubeck, so it's infused with wonderful jazz idioms and fun, rollicking Middle Eastern rhythms.
Yeah, it's quite a wonderful potpourri and showpiece for the guitarist. I'm not sure you were ever sitting still during that, are you?
No, I can't blink.
or you'll miss a note. And also on the program, one of the real mainstays, not only of the guitar music, classical guitar music, but also one of the great concertos of the 20th century.
The Concierto de Aranjuez by Joaquin Rodrigo.
Which you have recorded at least once and probably more than that, I would guess.
Three times, believe it or not. The most recent is with the New York Philharmonic. And it's still to date their only recording with guitar out of more than 2,000 albums that they've made.
Something that would not have occurred to me, but that's quite a record, isn't it? I wonder how that came about. I mean, there have been other guitarists before Sharon Isbin, but...
This is the only time New York Phil has actually recorded with guitar solo.
And that would be a one to choose, wouldn't it? Another well-known piece is this by Agustin Lara, which you've recorded, and this is on your very latest CD.
The new CD just came out this summer. It's called Alma Española, which translates to Spanish soul. And I'm joined by the wonderful mezzo-soprano Isabel Leonard, who you've heard here with me in concert 2 years ago at the Union Theater, and of course on the various Metropolitan Opera HD broadcasts. So we put together an album of the Spanish music that we've been doing by composers. Actually, more than half of them had to flee or were murdered by fascist governments. So it's very timely, given our current situation in the world. And we're about to hear a work titled Granada, actually by Mexican composer Agustin Lara. But we were just talking before about the beautiful Recuerdos de la Alhambra, which is located in Granada. And this particular work is one of the most famous songs ever written, and it's an arrangement that I made with guitar and voice. It certainly is inspired by the guitar, even though it wasn't penned for that at the start by Lara, but it really is coming home to it.
Soñada por mí, mi cantar se vuelve gitano cuando es para ti. Mi cantar hecho de fantasía, mi cantar flor de melancolía que yo te suave fragancia que le dieran marco a la Virgen.
you've been collaborating with her for a while. You kind of, was this just a voice that you discovered and you thought, I have to work with her, or how did that come about?
Actually, the other way around. Isabel had asked her manager, who is with the same company as mine, Columbia Artists, if they could approach me about the idea of creating a duo. This was back in 2014, and I heard her in concert at Carnegie Hall. I said, absolutely, this would be magnificent. She is from Argentinian background. Her mother was born in Argentina, so she is a major Spanish-speaking singer who grew up with that as the first language. And all the music we do, from Garcia Lorca to the Lara you just heard, Granada, music by Manuel de Falla, we do the 7 popular Spanish songs, and there's even a couple of transcriptions, arrangements that I made by Monsalvache. It's music, and of course, Joaquin Rodrigo, he penned in 1988 a version of the adagio from the Concierto de Aranjuez.
Right, and yes, lovely.
Called the song Aranjuez Ma Pensée. His wife actually wrote the lyrics to that, and we do this song as well. Their daughter, Cecilia, gave me the score to be the first to record it. And when Rodrigo was in the middle of writing his Concierto de Aranjuez, they lost what would have been their first child. This was in 1939. His wife, Victoria, became very ill. No one knew if she would live or die. So he would come back every night from visiting her at the hospital, unable to sleep. And to console himself, he would play for himself at the piano the beautiful adagio theme from the Concierto de Aranjuez, which he had already written. And fortunately, she went on to recover, and they had many decades together. I met them in 1979. He heard a broadcast of mine live on the radio.
Wow.
Of the Concierto de Aranjuez in Madrid.
That's exciting.
And tracked me down, invited me to his home, and that was the beginning of a 20-year friendship.
And, yeah, there's a wonderful picture of you and Rodrigo, and he lived, well, into his 90s, didn't
Absolutely,
he?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And he was blind from the age of 3 from diphtheria. He and his wife showed me the Braille machine that he would use to compose, or because they were both pianists, she often took dictation of his music. Lovely, lovely people.
Yes, that happens, doesn't it, that the composer of all this wonderful guitar music is a pianist. I mean, you know, Albéniz is another example, and
yes.
Granados too, probably.
And all of this music really is inspired by the guitar, even though De Falla wrote the 7 songs
yeah.
for piano and voice, or Garcia Lorca wrote at the piano. In fact, we don't even have scores of the Garcia Lorca songs. Fortunately, he made a recording with a singer called La Argentinita in the 1930s, shortly before he was abducted by Franco's thugs and killed. And in fact, I saw the home in which Manuel de Falla lived in Granada, speaking of Granada, and he had offered to hide Lorca when he heard Lorca was on the hit list by Franco. Offered to hide him in his cellar. Lorca turned him down, was murdered, and then De Falla got scared and thought he'd be next. So he fled to Argentina. And it's really fascinating. As I mentioned earlier, so many of these composers had to deal with these kinds of traumas in their life. In Rodrigo's case, he had to flee both the Nazis and Franco.
Yeah, the history of Spain in the 1930s is certainly turbulent, but there was a lot of wonderful music that was
yes.
being written despite those circumstances.
And when you think of Enrique Granados, we're celebrating the 150th anniversary of his birth this year. And one of the pieces that I do, perhaps the next we could hear, is the beautiful Danza Española Número 5, the Spanish Dance Number 5. And his story was also interesting. He came to hear the world premiere of his opera, Goyescas, at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. And President Wilson decided to invite him to the White House to perform a concert. So Granados extended his stay, traveled to Washington, D.C., and as a result, came back on a different ship. Unfortunately, this was the Sussex that was then torpedoed
yes,
by the Germans in
yeah.
World War I, and he saw his wife floundering and drowning in the water, so he dove in to save her, and they both drowned. And that was the tragic end of Enrique Granados.
And we'll hear, as you mentioned, this transcription of his Spanish Dance Number 5, which is inspired by guitar music. And so does that make it easier to transcribe?
It does, actually, because then you really find the voice that was in the composer's imagination. This is also from Alma Española, the new album out on the Bridge label with Isabel Leonard, and this is a guitar solo on that album.
Thank you.
some of the more guitar artistry there involving transcription of an original. That was the work of Enrique Granados, and it was his Spanish Dance number 5, as played by my guest, Sharon Isbin, who is performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend. She's performing two works with the symphony, one by Chris Brubeck that she commissioned. It's called An Affinity Concerto for Guitar and Orchestra, and then the famous Concierto de Aranjuez, which we'll be sampling in a moment. In the meantime, though, we have the finale to the aforementioned Concierto de Aranjuez, which you recorded three times, and where would this fall? We have a date of January, 2004.
2004, that would be the most recent, and that's the one with the New York Philharmonic. It's also on a 5-CD box set called 5 Classic Albums, and it'll be one of the CDs that the symphony will be hawking at the concerts Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We should mention you actually, at the end of the concert, you'll be signing CDs, not in the customary intermission, but at the end of the concert, since you're playing two works this weekend with the Madison Symphony. So the finale of the Concierto de Aranjuez, this work of Joaquin Rodrigo, Sharon Isbin with the New York Philharmonic, José Cerbriere conducting. Thank you. As promised, a gentle finale, isn't it?
It's the last movement of the Concierto de Aranjuez of Joaquin Rodrigo, one of the two works with guitar and orchestra that I'll be performing with the wonderful Madison Symphony and their fantastic music director, Maestro Demain. And this will be on Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 8 p.m., and Sunday at 2:30 p.m.
Well, you have that cold. I'm glad, because there are stories of performers who
show up at the wrong time. Yeah, I triple check.
good plan. Now, you have recorded Porro at least a couple of times in a couple of very different ways. I was listening earlier to a performance which is, I think, going to be quite different from the one we're about to hear.
Yes, the one you're referring to is with the late and amazing Brazilian organic percussionist and composer Tiago de Mello. It's on the Journey to the Amazon album that I did, and part of the 5-CD box set as well. But the one we're going to hear now opens an album I did recently called Guitar Passions, and I got to invite many of my guitar heroes to join me in that album, people like Steve Vai and Stanley Jordan from the jazz world. Even Nancy Wilson from Heart does a beautiful rendition of Dreamboat Annie. So what we're going to hear is Porro with a second guitar part written by another South American composer, Gustavo Colina, and I actually play both parts. So, and Porro is from Venezuela. It's a typical Venezuelan dance. Colombian dance. And the composer is Gentil Montaña from Colombia.
And so through the wonders of overdubbing?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing here? Okay, great. So Sharon has been twice over with this performance of Porro.
Thank you.
was kind of unusual, a fade at the end, but that's occasionally you run into that in classical music.
Yes, and it's particularly fitting on this album. Sharon has been in Friends Guitar Passions since there are a number of non-classical guests who join me.
So what are the challenges, what are the difficulties of overdubbing one of your own performances like that?
In this case, since I had played the original solo part for a long time, it was not so difficult. So that's the one I put down first and then added the second guitar part. In some of the duets, I do Dowland songs in the Journey to the New World CD, which also has Joan Baez as a guest. That one was a little more challenging because of some of the rubato that I would take.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, wow, what's she doing there? Oh, it's me!
Well, we have from the same disc that we just heard from, which is Passions, Guitar Passions, Sharon Isbin and Friends, this work that is by one Alfonso E. El Mar. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, Alfonsino y el Mar.
Mm-hmm.
And it is by Ramirez, and it's about the poet who was very well known in Argentina, who, when she became tragically ill, wrote an incredibly moving poem and then walked into the sea to end her life. And it's a tragic story and very moving and beautiful. And I would say that Ramirez really captured the essence of her spirit in this song. It's actually a song then transcribed for guitar. Thank you.
All those wonderful, I'll call them special effects there. So many different things you can do with a string of a guitar.
The harmonic at the end, yes.
Yeah, and all those bell tones and the subtleties. I mean, that's, I would say what, to my way of thinking, really sets your work apart is the amount of subtlety you can achieve and the variety of sounds you can get and dynamics.
Well, I've always been inspired by the human voice and the ability of the guitar to mimic that. In fact, in Alma Española with Isabel Leonard, the guitar and the voice are virtually interchangeable in the way that I use the instrument.
What do we have? This is one of your recordings from about 20 years ago.
It is from Journey to the Amazon, part of the 5-CD box set called Five Classic Albums, which is available today. And it is by Canonico. It's an Aire de Joropo.
Say that's cute, but it's cute plus. A lot of great playing in there too. Quick question before we get into this CD, Sharon. Are you still fascinated by rockets?
I'm still fascinated by them, and I was really lucky, even though as a child that was going to be my career as a model rocketeer and building and launching them. My father used to say that I wouldn't be able to set my rockets up into space until I put in an hour on the guitar. So that's how they bribed me to continue. But eventually, Chris Hadfield, the famous Canadian astronaut, took up one of my CDs and the travel guitar that I endorsed, the Silhouette, into the Atlantis Space Shuttle. It was up there for months, and in fact, all Great. The astronauts signed it.
Fascinating. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.